Before the lesson this morning, we will be reading from the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. We'll be reading verses 1 through 9. That's Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day in and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Thank you, Brother Don, for that reading from the book of Joshua. Many years ago, Foster Walker walked into a store in the city of Memphis that was being held up at the time. And the people who were holding up the store put a gun on him and said, "Give me your money." The gentleman, after receiving this threat to hand over his money or be shot, said, "Go ahead and shoot me, because I've already read my Bible today and said my prayers." The people holding up the store were kind of dumbfounded by that, as you would imagine, of something that a 60-some-odd-year-old gentleman would say in response to their threat. But the man walked away. What gave that man that courage to say that? Why was he not afraid of what these robbers would do to him? Welcome to our assembly this morning. Thank you so much for being here to worship God in spirit and in truth, as we trust, being led by His Word. We appreciate the fact that you brought your Bible with you, and we hope that you'll follow along in our study, that you will make some notes that will help you in your spiritual journey to be more like Jesus Christ. And we will look at Joshua chapter 1, our text, as we go through the lesson, and some other scriptures this morning that I hope will be beneficial to you in our one of our lessons that we indicated we would have about once a month, teaching us and helping us to instill within our children certain characteristics that will help them in their spiritual journey. May God bless you for being in our assembly today. In our text for the lesson this morning, God admonished Joshua, who was now Israel's new leader since Moses had departed, to be strong and courageous. The challenge is repeated four times in chapter 1 alone, but it's expressed differently in various places through the book. And it's also expressed by Moses earlier when he's indicating to Joshua that the mantle of leadership would be passed to him, and he admonishes him to be courageous in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Joshua needed to be a courageous person to lead this nation at last into the promised land. Where did Joshua find the courage to do that? Why was he not afraid to do what he had been charged to do? Courage, I think, is a very interesting thing. You can find courage. You can take courage. You can stir up courage. You can gather it up. You can be a courageous person. You can keep your courage. Courage is a very interesting thing. Courage seems to be something that it's really up to me to have or to not have. We can choose to be courageous, or we can choose to cower down in fear based on circumstances or what we believe about a situation. Joshua's courage wasn't described in our text as something that came naturally, that was inherent in him because he was a man. It wasn't a natural thing. It wasn't built in. It wasn't intrinsic within him. God didn't say to him, "You are strong and courageous." God said to him, "Be strong and courageous." God directed him to be strong and courageous because no matter what weakness Joshua had, no matter how many people he had to lead, and no matter how big and how fearsome the enemy that he would face would be, the Lord was with him. Now you might be saying, "Well, my child is not Joshua, but how do I instill within my child a courage that will be beneficial for my child? How do I implant courage in my children?" And that's what we want to think about in the lesson this morning, please. And thinking about courage, let's just consider what it is. According to Webster's dictionary, that we refer to a lot of times to make clear and to describe things, but courage is described by him as the quality or the state of mind or spirit enabling one to face danger or hardship with confidence or resolution. The ability to disregard fear. We call it bravery sometimes, boldness sometimes, valor or fearlessness many times. In the Bible, we see that definition played out for us in the lives of different people and in the admonitions of the inspired writers. In the first place, confidence is seen as assurance in speech in Acts chapter 4, verses 13, verse 29, and verse 31, which describe courageousness on the part of Peter and John, who are standing before the Jewish Sanhedrin to be examined by them. And when they observed the confidence of Peter and John, they understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed. What were they amazed at? Their confidence, their courage. And they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And verse 29 goes on to say that in the story of this event, they were beaten and they were released. But other Christians prayed for them. "Now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence." And when they had prayed, the place where they gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. There's that courage displayed on the part of Peter and John in the face of fear and threats from the leaders of the Jewish religion. Secondly, we see it played out, our definition played out as virtue or moral excellence, valor, a manliness, if you will, In passages like 2 Peter 1, in verse 3, Peter said, "Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." And then in verse 5, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence." And in your moral excellence knowledge, and he goes on to describe some other graces that grace the lives of Christians. But moral excellence, that valor, that virtue, that requires absolutely courage. Paul told the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 3, "Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." The admonition really for them to be people of moral virtue, manliness, courage. We see it played out in the courage of one's convictions. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 8, going back to the Old Testament, here is that courage of one's convictions shown. "When Asa heard these words and the prophecy which Azariah, the son of Obed, the prophet, spoke, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. He then restored the altar of the Lord." Pardon me just a minute. So you see the courage of one's convictions described there, and his conviction was against idolatry. And it took a great deal of courage to go against people who were for idolatry, didn't it? And then we see a fearlessness from Hebrews 13 and verse 6, "so that we confidently say," there's that confidence, "we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. What's man going to do to me? What will man do to me?" Now, knowing and doing are two different things, aren't they? One can know what to do and fail to do it sometimes because of being afraid. Excuse me, being fearful. So at times, obedience is incomplete because of fear. We can think about the wandering of the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? Because they didn't have the courage to do what God told them to do and go in and take the land. They were afraid. They let circumstances and things that they saw among the people of the land generate a fear in their hearts to the point where they just refused to do what God told them to do. So now, once again, this nation of people is on the brink of preparing to enter the land that God had promised them. But they're not petrified with fear this time. They learned that 40-year lesson. But they needed the courage of Joshua to lead them into the promised land. There are many other examples in the Bible about courage that we can see in the lives of people. Abraham certainly manifested a great deal of courage when he was called on to leave his home town of Ur of the Chaldees to go to a land that he didn't know anything about, he'd never seen before. That certainly required courage on his part. Jacob was a man who was very courageous when he, as an old man, went into Egypt in order to obtain God's promise, as the book of Genesis shows us. Moses' mother, Jochebed, was fearless when she rejected the commandment of Pharaoh, and she hid her son for 3 months and then put him in the river Nile, Hebrews 11 and verse 23, said they were not afraid of the king's edict. Courage helped them to be not afraid. And what about Moses? Not fearing the wrath of the king? Not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh? And his magicians led Israel out of bondage? And the Hebrew writer said that time will just fail me if I'm going to tell you all of the examples of faith, all of the rest who through faith and courage gained approval, the approval of God, the Hebrew writer says in chapter 11. And in addition to these numerous examples, of course you would think of Jesus Christ as being a courageous person, wouldn't you? He wasn't petrified in fear to do something, even to go to his own death, the death on the cross. Despising the shame of the cross, he endured such hostility by sinners. He left us this example so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, the Hebrew writer says in chapter 12. And what about the three Hebrews that had to make a decision about whether they would bow down and worship a golden image or not, whether they would maintain their worship only to the real, true, and living God? What about their courage? When the king demanded a choice, this was their reply: "We do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." And what did the king do with those three Hebrews? Put them in the fire, didn't he? Intending to burn them up. Did it take any courage whatsoever to stand against the king? Certainly it did. Most certainly it did. They understood that they may not come out alive, but they also understood they would come out well. They would be in a good position. Well, with that being said, and that type of groundwork laid, so now how do we teach our children to be courageous? Well, I think part of that definition about being courage would lead us to make this point: show them how to handle fear. And notice that I'm not saying teach them to not have any fear. Notice that we're not saying that. We're saying teach them how to handle it. How do our children meet the challenge of their own fears and become successful, become courageous people? You may well remember, if you're a student of U.S. history, a statement by Franklin D. Roosevelt in his inaugural address: "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." That's what he said. He knew that fear is what holds us back in meeting any challenge, any enemy, whether it was the Great Depression in this country or whether it was the Axis powers who were threatening to take over all of Europe militarily. Boldness is rooted in a confidence. And that's why the Hebrew writer said in chapter 13 and verse 6, "So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. What's man going to do to me?" Now, courage is not the absence of any fear whatsoever. If you have any fear of anything in your heart, that's not the same as saying you're not a courageous person. Because the absence of fear of certain things is foolishness. We want to fear hellfire, don't we? We want to fear the wrath of God for disobedience and rebellion, don't we? That's healthy. That's very healthy. But that doesn't mean that we're not courageous and can't be courageous. Courage is the mastery of fear. It is overcoming fear. It is dealing with fear. It is coping with it. It's knowing that it's there, and it's knowing how to handle it and what to do so that it doesn't paralyze you and petrify you at times when you need that boldness and that valor and that strength and that confidence, that courage. Courage is not listening to fear when making decisions. Courage is the determination to do the right thing in the face of opposition. Now, as a Christian, will you be opposed for doing the right thing, for teaching others to do the right thing? You certainly will. They oppose Jesus Christ. Why not His followers? What would be different? This includes a respect for danger and a filter of common sense, I think. Our children need to know that if someone brings alcohol or a weapon to a party that they're attending, that they need to tell an adult, that they need to call their parents to come get them, or they need to drive home in their car. They need to get away from that. Courage is the ability to confront fear in any circumstance and not have that fear and that circumstance consume you so that you become afraid and you become petrified and you won't stand for what is right. Courage is the ability to confront fear and any uncertainty. Now, if you think about it, think of courage as the spinal backbone of the whole skeletal structure of your body that holds all of the other moral virtues together. How are you going to be an honest person in this society in the face of lying, cheating, and dishonesty? How are you going to be? You're going to have to be courageous, aren't you? How are you going to be morally pure when all about you says, do your own thing if it feels good to do it? How are you going to be the one that says, no, I'm not going to be like the rest of the world? It takes courage, doesn't it? Any moral virtue that you possess is held together by that backbone, that spine of courage. Courage. A child had to walk each evening past a dark, spooky house. Some friends of his tried to bolster his courage to do that in several different ways. One of them said, I'll give you my good luck charm, and that'll take the fear away and it'll give you courage. Would that work? Another one said, I'll let you use my flashlight so that you can see your way through the darkness. Then you won't be afraid. Would that work? And then another one said, giving this more spiritual approach, says, you know, it's really weakness to be afraid. Trust God and be brave. Well, that was good advice, but that wasn't much help, was it? Then one friend said, with compassion, I know what it's like to be afraid. I will walk with you. And that took it away. The fears of that child were gone. When a certain little granddaughter spends the night with Nana and Poppy, and it's nighttime and the lights in the back of the house are off, and Nana says, would you go to the bedroom and get this, or would you go to the bedroom for this reason or that reason? And she says, I don't want to go back there. She's afraid. She has fear. And Nana and Poppy, being busy about other things, can say, just turn on the light. Well, that's not the solution. But you know what the solution is? Poppy takes her little hand and walks with her through the darkness back to the bedroom. Not a word said about fear. Not a word said about I'm afraid. But Poppy's with her. The fear's gone. That's the very same thing that God is telling Joshua in this passage. I will be with you. And so Joshua can be courageous knowing that God is with him. Joshua faced the fearful task of having to lead this group of nomads through armies of people, through kingdoms of people, and the challenge would be most frightening, wouldn't it? Dedication to God's Word may mean that you take a stand against the tide of popular opinion at your school or at your workplace. Your knees may knock, your voice may quiver, but have courage. Have confidence. Just like Joshua, you can do it because God has given the solution for your fears. It doesn't mean you won't have any fears. God has given the solution. I will be with you. I am with you, and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. That's God's promise to His people. He assured Joshua, the Lord is with you wherever you go. God doesn't promise He will not lead you into fearful situations. For most of us, that challenge is very frightening. But we can do it. In Christ, you have strength for every weakness and the courage for every fear. Psalm 23 in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Are you facing a formidable task? Trust God and His presence to dispel your fears, to conquer your fears, and give you a renewed strength and courage. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 in verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline." Show in your life your children how to handle fear. Show them how to handle it. Don't leave them in the dark. God did not leave Joshua in the dark about how he would accomplish his task. God laid down the guidelines for success. Look in verse 8 of our Joshua 1 text this morning, and you will see those guidelines for success. Talk about the Word of God. You know, don't let it go. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Talk about it. Also, meditate on the law. And thirdly, obey it. It's all right there in verse 8, those three concepts about dealing with the Word of God. And when you do that, you will succeed. The foundation for Joshua's strength and courage came in the truth that was communicated in verse 9. God was with Joshua, and we must not overlook that. Israel easily could have crumbled in fear when they saw this opposing enemy, when they were challenged with foreign and false gods. But Joshua's strength and courage led Israel through a great period of faith and obedience to the Heavenly Father. We can courageously lead our children the very same way, following those principles. Well, show them how to handle fear. Give them love. Because John said in 1 John 4 and verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. When small children are very confident and sure of their parents' love and the love that their brothers and sisters have for them, they can successfully meet the trials of life every day. Every day. They know that mom and dad and big brother and big sister are backing them up. They know that. They're confident in that. And that experience learned young in life, translates into a powerful, confident faith later on in life as an adult. When we are loved by God and we love Him, we lose our fears because we know there is nothing that will cause God to leave us or forsake us. So give them love. Also, give them heroes. Show them who the real heroes are. You know, this book right here is full of heroes and their stories and how they were confident and courageous and displayed moral excellence in the face of threats, in the face of fear, in the face of the cost of their very lives. Use that book. Show them the heroes of God. Show them who those heroes really and truly are. Romans 15 and verse 4, the things that were written aforetime were written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Do we want our children to grow up with a hope of eternal life? Then they have to have that perseverance and that encouragement that comes through the Scriptures, and there's no better way to do that than to uphold before their eyes great Bible characters showing courageous strength and confidence and power in their lives. Philippians 3 and verse 7, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Not only are there Bible characters that we can use as examples for our children, there are other godly Christians who live lives of high moral standard, of great confidence, of great faith and great strength. Observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us, Paul said. Observe those who walk according to the pattern, the example that the Lord displayed for us. There are many fine Christians who have stories to share with young people that will build their confidence and give them courage. Utilize that great source. Be courageous yourself. That's a very important point. The best heroes they could want in life are two courageous parents. You need to set the example. We all know the help that examples give us. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. You know, if our young people take a stand for morality and truth, their peers at school are going to cause them some grief. And they might end up being afraid of them. Teach them to conquer those fears. Teach them to be courageous by showing them what courage is yourself. They need to see parents who make hard choices, but the right choices in life. And sometimes those things, those decisions and choices are difficult. They need to see that their parents choose to do the right thing, believe the right thing, act the right way. Help them understand the cost and the sacrifices that are involved in wearing the name of Christ, because they need to expect the difficulty and the opposition from the world. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. Well, what's the solution for that? Being afraid and being troubled by intimidation that comes from ungodly people. What's the solution? Peter says right here, sanctify Christ Jesus as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give a defense to everyone that asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than doing what is wrong. Now, courage is not recklessness and daring nerve so that children might grow up to climb mountains or become risk-taking entrepreneurs in their own business. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about jumping off a cliff and falling 75 feet into a pool of shallow water and that being courageous. That'd be rather silly and not intelligent, wouldn't it? And that's not what we're talking. We're not saying to raise reckless daredevils as children, and that's real courage. We're not saying that. That's not what real courage is. Share your experience with your children. Paul wasn't reluctant to let brethren know that he was suffering when he said in Colossians 4 and verse 18, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. Now, Paul certainly wasn't a braggart, was he? The knowledge of what was happening to him helped other Christians endure as well. By the example of another Christian being courageous, what does that do for you? That builds you up and increases your confidence that you can do the same thing, doesn't it? It certainly does. In my imprisonment, in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, Paul said in his letter to the Philippians. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. That's what Paul's example did for the Christians of his day. What can an example of a courageous, godly Christian provide for us today? Anything of value? Anything of worth? Well, certainly, certainly so. And you can build confidence toward God in young people, in your children, by letting them know how you and how others that have influenced you have stood fast in the face of fear when trials have come your way in life. It's valuable. It's so very valuable. Give encouragement to your children. That's important as well. When your child is going through tough times and don't stand idly by on the sidelines. Give them some encouragement. Isaiah 41 and verse 6. Each one helps his neighbor and says to his brother, be strong. Encourage him. Counsel him. And if need be, help him. Let him or her know that you are there for them. You're on their side. Pray for him. Enlist the prayers of others on their behalf. You know, there is absolutely nothing wrong with walking up to another Christian in this assembly and saying, would you pray for my son? Would you pray for my daughter? There's nothing wrong with that. Do that. Enlist the prayers of other people. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James said. Much. And we need that. Don't we? If we want to implant courage within our children. Courage really is faith in action, isn't it? Isn't it really? The very best way that we can protect our children spiritually from the wickedness of our society. The best way we can protect them is to prepare them for what lies ahead in their lives. We may not be there. And they're going to need something to rely on when we're not there. And it'll be courage. How very important that is. And it starts with a clear command. Be strong and courageous. From our text, Joshua could be courageous because of God's promise in verse 6. Joshua could find courage and strength by obeying God's word in verses 7 and 8. And Joshua could be courageous because of God's constant presence in verse 9. There's a great lesson there for us about courage. Psalm 31 and verse 24, a great thought to close with this morning. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. What a great admonition that is. May God bless you for being in our assembly today. Courage is such a valuable thing, isn't it? If you're in our assembly today and you're not a Christian, it takes courage to be a Christian. It takes a courageous person to do exactly what the Lord said to do in order to have the remission of sins. And that is to hear the Word of God and believe it. And in that belief, to confess Him before men, to repent of sins, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins, raised to walk in newness of life, where you then can be faithful. And when this life is over, you will have the crown of life that the Lord promised. Can we help you with that today? If we can, please come to the front while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.